worrying about them. But really, I mean, what do we worry about? Well, I worry about my wife, my wife's health. My wife drives a long distance to work every day. I worry about my kids going to school, what they interact with, who they interact with, what they do, being home alone. I worry about my family. I worry about my health, although it doesn't always seem like that. I worry about you guys. I worry about your lives, your livelihoods, your families. I worry about your marriages and your kids. I worry about Homeport, our ministry here. I worry about our staff, our impact, the lives that we're seeing changed by Jesus. I worry about those that come and never come back. I worry about how we're growing spiritually, closer to God. How are our relationships with him? I worry about our finances. I worry about our ability to continue to advance the kingdom of God. I worry about our generosity, and are we growing in our understanding of how we're supposed to give and how to bless others. I worry about a lot of things. And honestly, sometimes it keeps me up at night. I let worry get in. Here's the thing, though. As heartwarming as those things sound, as warm and fuzzy we may get because, oh, someone's thinking about me, someone's praying about me, someone's worrying about me, it doesn't make it right. These things aren't mine to worry about. Even though they're good things, they're still things we shouldn't be worrying about. It's not what we're supposed to do. The truth of the matter is that feelings are worrying, or that feelings get us into trouble, right? I mean, we could separate truth from feelings and go after our feelings, and that is especially true when we start thinking about being worried. But what about you guys? What do you worry about? Why do you worry about such things? What happens when you worry? Does worry ever fix our problems? Does it ever create a solution? Does it ever answer a question? Does it make the situation any better if we worry about it? Does it even make us feel good when we worry about it? That's where I want to start this morning with our question of the day. Just taking a couple moments, turning the people closest to us and answering this question. Has worrying ever got you anywhere? Turn to people closest to you, answer that question. I already heard some isn't. Worry is not thriftiness, right? I mean, worry is not being a good steward of our resources, being concerned with how we use our money. Do we use it wisely? Are we preparing that way? It's not thoughtfulness or careful provision for the future. It's not planning ahead. Those are just wise things to do. That's not worrying. Worrying is, I've got all this money in the stock market and the stock market crashing. Now what am I going to do with my life? That's worrying, not thoughtful planning for the future. Worry is concerns and thoughts that cause us to be anxious or cause us to back down or cause us to be afraid. Worrying sucks the joy out of life and causes us to be miserable and just feel miserable. The things that it does not only to the mind but to the body when we worry is absolutely terrible. Worrying keeps our attention off of God. And that's the biggest matter that we're going to deal with this morning, is that worrying keeps our attention here and off of God. Paul told the church in Colossae, think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. And if that's not a description of what worrying is, I don't know a better definition. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. When we get our minds focused on this place and on the things that are happening here, it's really easy to be entangled in worship. John MacArthur says, think about it this way. Christians, so that's us, who worry, believe God can redeem them. Think about this. Christians believe God can redeem them, that is, save their souls, can break the shackles of Satan, can take them from hell to heaven, can put them into his kingdom and give them eternal life, but they just don't think he can get them through the next couple of days. It's pretty ridiculous that we can believe God for the greater gift of salvation, but stumble to believe him for this lesser one. And honestly, in all of us, it reveals an embarrassing lack of faith. Worrying paralyzes us. It keeps us from doing what we've been called to do. It keeps us from enjoying life and our family and our friends. And it keeps us from trusting God. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to spend some time in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount here. He's working through some passages, and then he comes to this whole section about worry. He knows the human heart. He knows what we are like. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 6, starting down in 25. It says this: "This is why I tell you not to worry about your everyday life, whether you have enough food to drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" We just have to think about that. Isn't life more than the littlest things in this life? We get so wrapped up and so enthralled with just even these little things. We worry about food. We think about food so much. Do we even get, like, I mean, think about how popular it is today to take pictures of your food and share your pictures of this beautiful meal of food. We think about food so much. It says, don't worry about whether you have food or drink or clothes to wear. We get so much, just so enwrapped up in this whole idea of just even the clothes that we wear, we worry and concern about how we look. And Jesus says, these are such little things in our lives. Why do we worry about them? Going into verse 26, it says, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add even a single moment to your life?" And one of the commentators I was reading, this guy named Mark Moore, he says, when you read that sentence in verse 26, and then we're going to see it again in verse 28, when he says, "Look at the birds," or "look at the flowers," he says, "Look and learn." Jesus is saying, see how this is supposed to work. Look and learn about these things. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them and takes care of them. Aren't you so much more valuable than they are? And no worries add even a single moment to your life. And you worry about your clothing. Look at the lilies of the field. Look and learn and how they grow. They don't worry or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? When it comes to the Christian life, you have a choice to make. Do you believe that you're more valuable than these things, the birds of the air or the flowers of the field? Do you believe that you're more valuable than a bird who is industrious and carefree? They don't have refrigerators or pantries to be cared for, yet they don't ever go without a meal. They don't ever go hungry. Don't you believe that you're more valuable than the flowers? Think about it. God covers these temporary flowers in such beauty. They're gone. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Something as insignificant as just a little bit of heat can just wither a flower to death. I watch the flowers on the bushes around here, and you know, in the morning as they're opening up, they're just these big, vibrant flowers, but then that heat of the day gets on that building and they wither and they begin to go away. And Jesus says, aren't you more valuable than they? I mean, even though God covers something so beautiful that's so temporary, isn't he going to provide for us? Stop to think about that. I mean, stop to think about your value and how worrying diminishes that value. You're taking your value away from yourself because of the value God's given you when we worry. In your sermon notes, I want you to stop. I want this to be a mark. I want you to sit there and I want you to think, because when we think about it, when we act on it, are you more valuable than the birds of the air or the flowers of the field? Mark that off. I mean, think about that. How do you feel about yourself? What is the value that you sense from God on yourself? Don't you believe that you are more valuable than these things? Jesus ends verse 30 questioning our faith. He says, oh, you of little faith. Isn't God capable of giving us clothes? Isn't he capable of making sure that we have enough food? And I was reading through some of the comments and some sections on some of this, and they were talking about, you know, the questions of evil that arise, and how do people in our world go without food, and they go without clothes, and they live in such abject poverty if God says he's going to provide for them. And he says there's a number of reasons that happens. I mean, we're not, we may be subject to suffering, or, you know, we have to persevere through something. But a lot of times it's evil in our world. And that there is more than enough food in this world to care for everybody. But we choose to hold on to it. We choose to not give. We choose how we disperse those blessings out. God has given them to us, but man chooses otherwise. And when we think about even how God interacts with us, how is our faith? Oh, you of little faith. Oh, me of little faith. R.H. Mouth says this, worry is practical atheism, and it's an affront to God. Worry is practical atheism, and it's affront to God. For the Christian, this means that we say with our mouths that we believe that there's God, but we live with our lives like he doesn't even exist. That's practical atheism, to live our lives as if he is not here at all, to have no faith that he provides for us or to take care of us. For the Christian, do we believe that he will? Or do we sit here and worry about it? Going on into verse 31, it says this, so don't worry about these things, saying, will we eat, or will we, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. When you think about that, it says we've got to stop living like there's no God. The pagans live like there's no God. They go about and they worry about these little things. They worry about what they're going to wear, or if they're going to have enough. But that's not the way it's supposed to be with God's people. Jesus says there is a God. And not only is there a God in heaven, but he's a God who cares about your every need. He knows every one of our individual needs, down to the last detail, yet we live like he's not here at all. In verse 33, it says, seek above all else, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Live righteously, righteously. I found a great quote from Andy Stanley. It says, seeking first your own security will fuel worry. Seeking first your own security will fuel worry. Seeking first the agenda of God will free you. Think about that for a moment. Seeking first the agenda of God will free you. So how do we stop worrying? We've got to stop focusing on ourselves. We've got to stop focusing on the bigger and the better and the newer. We've got to stop seeking power and control in life and in relationship. We've got to stop seeking our own kingdom. So we've got to try to stop focusing on ourselves so much so that we can start focusing on, or as this passage says, we've got to start seeking the kingdom of God and his way of life, his right living. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the future, or the coming future kingdom of God's reign over the new heavens and the new earth. It is a moment in time where the new kingdom will be totally realized. It is also something that we experience today. For us, the Christian, it's a spiritual rule over our hearts and over our lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority, living in the kingdom of God today. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, seek this today. Seek it for your life, not only here and now, but in the future. Seek your place in that future kingdom. So how do we seek it today? First, Christians, it says, have to live differently. If this is the way pagans live, then the Christians are over here. They're learning to live differently. If the pagans are living like there is no God, then we're living like there is a God. If pagan or thinking like a pagan is to worry about these things, then for the Christians not to worry about these things, it's to live differently. I shared a picture this week with a great quote. It says, Christianity will have an impact on society in direct proportion to its distinctiveness. How are we living distinctively apart from the world as people who claim to live or to believe in God? We've got a desire in or to enter into God's kingdom above everything else. We've got a desire. And I was thinking about that. Do you remember maybe you've taken your kids, or maybe you went with somebody who had kids, or maybe you even have a memory as a child of going to someplace special like Disney World, like the Magic Kingdom? And you think about how a kid gets so excited about Disney. And they get, so, I mean, like, you start talking about it, and they're not going to sleep the night before. You're in the car, and are we there yet? And they start to see the signs, and they begin to freak out. And then you get there, and I mean, it's just this magical place for the little kid. And they see this huge entryway and the train coming across right in front. And you walk down Main Street, and you think about a little kid entering Magic Kingdom with such just enthusiasm and excitement. And we're entering the kingdom of God like, all right, I'm here. I hope it's all right. Coffee better be good. Think about how we desire to enter into something so special as the kingdom of God. We've got a desire to enter into it. We've got to submit to his rule over our lives. We can't say, here I am, God, but I'm going to do things my way. We have to submit to his rule over our lives. We've got to be okay with him saying, you can't worry about these things. You've got to let me do the worrying. We've got to participate in spreading his news of his saving reign over our lives in this world and over his saving grace that we receive because Jesus was sacrificed for our sins. We've got to participate in spreading that news. That's what being a part of the kingdom is. There isn't ever a person who goes, I'm a fan of, and then never talks about it. Like, no one would ever assume you were a fan of that. You don't ever say anything about it. You got to participate in spreading the good news. We also have to seek his righteousness. That's pursuing a right living in full submission to God. It's wholehearted allegiance to God and to nothing else. It's not partial allegiance. It's not compartmentalized allegiance. God, I'm going to be allegiant to you while I'm here in this place, but when I go out there, I'm not going to be anymore. Only full allegiance to the kingdom of God will do. Living your life for yourself will only cause you to continue to worry. And that's why Jesus is telling us this morning, to get rid of worry is to start living for God. We've got to seek God and let him take care of us. That's why he's having this conversation with the disciples and with the crowd in the Sermon on the Mount, is because he wants us to know that if we seek God, he's going to take care of us. He's going to be there for us. I think it's funny how much God knows how big a worry warts that we are, that we need this constant encouragement. We need this uplifting in our lives. Peter tells the church, in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, give all of your worries and cares to God because he cares for you. Give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Go back and think to that weight that you're carrying and that worrisome burden that you're carrying all by yourself. Why carry a burden like that when we serve a God who says, I want to come alongside you and take that away from you, who says, I want to come alongside and help you carry it? If we'd only trust in him to take care of all of our needs, we wouldn't carry such a burden. Psalm chapter 56, David says, but when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? David was worried when he was afraid. He trusted in God. And so many times that's the opposite of what we do. We just spiral down further into our worries. What's going on inside of your life that's causing you to worry so much? I mean, what is it? Name it. Name it in your head. This is what I worry about. Maybe it's a broad category of worry. Maybe it's a very specific situation or relationship that you worry. Don't you trust God with it? I mean, are you willing to give that worry, that concern, that anxiousness, that burden to God? When we give it to him, what are we supposed to do? To give something to God is to say out loud or in our mind, say, God, I'm giving this to you. This is yours. It's no longer mine. I need you to take this from me. I don't want it anymore. And then when we start worrying about it, we start praying about it again. God, I don't want to carry this burden anymore. This is for you. You need to take this. Please take this from me. And anytime we start to worry, we pray and we trust God. God, I trust you to take this. Sometimes the best things that we can do when we're worrying is to get active and do something else. So many times we get worried about things because we're idle and we're just sitting and we're not doing anything. What if we started serving in the kingdom of God right here, right where you're at, instead of sitting there worrying and being concerned? What about joining a Homeport group? Rather than going through life by yourself, walking through life with people who can help you and encourage you so that you don't carry those burdens by yourself? What if you started to spend your time with God or spending more time with God, and you made it an actual priority in your life? Every day at this time, every day for this long, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to spend more time with God. If I'm spending a half an hour, I'm going to jump to an hour. If I'm spending 15 minutes, I'm going to go to 20 minutes. Whatever it is, however big a jump you need to make. What if we started spending more time with God and more time in his word and learning more about his attributes and who he is and how much he loves us and how much he cares about us? We spend more time talking to him. We make it a priority. I know a lot of people struggle with these things, prayer, Bible reading. How do I get involved? How do I share my faith? And coming up at the end of the month, we're going to be starting a set of classes called equipping classes. And it's going to be just for those things. It's going to be a Monday night, something totally different than what we do, an hour long. And we'll be talking more about that. If you're interested in something like that, just write it down on your connection card in the comments. Just write, I'm interested in the equipping class. It's 5 weeks. That's all the commitment you're giving me is 5 weeks. We're going to be talking about things like, how do we pursue Jesus? And how do we grow in our faith? How do we discover what God has gifted us to do? And how do we get plugged into ministries? How do we care for one another and love one another? And how do we share our faith? 5 weeks, short time. I think it's going to be great. I want you guys to join me. Just put a comment in your connection card that you might be interested, and we'll get you guys more information, and we'll have more information rolling out over the next couple weeks as well. Another thing that we can do is change the type of music that we listen to. Instead of always listening to our favorite radio stations or the radio and the music that we've listened to all of our lives, what if we started listening to Christian radio? Or what if we popped in a CD of our favorite worship songs? Or what if we turned on a playlist on our music service or whatever it is? What if we started listening to Christian music, uplifting music that's going to encourage us towards the things of God versus music that steers us away from God? We can also show our trust in God to provide for us through our committed weekly giving. And so many of you guys are great givers, but there's so many people that still don't give to Homeport who aren't trusting God in that way. What if you started small? What if you started with a 1%? I can't do a larger percent, but what if I started at 1%? What if I started at $5 or $10, something, and worked my way up from there? The thing what we have to understand about giving is that we're creating space for God to work. If we hold on with closed hands to everything that God's given us, 100%, then that's all that we can squeeze out of it is 100%. But when we open our hands and we create space for God to work, what isn't God capable of doing in our lives? How isn't he capable of taking care of us? Jeremiah, the prophet of the Old Testament, In Lamentations chapter 3, gives us a great reminder. He says this, he says, "Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." So many times we get caught up in this long-term worrying or this concern about the future or all of these things. Jesus said, why worry about that? Today is enough. And when we think today is enough, we have to remember that his mercies begin afresh each morning. We wake up, we breathe life into our lungs, and we have a new day to live for him and to trust in him and to stop worrying. I mean, think about what it would be like if we stopped worrying and let God do the heavy lifting. What would it be like if we understood that God wants the best for us and that worrying keeps us from that? What would life be like if we didn't carry those burdens, when we weren't so agitated and irritated all the time? God wants what's best for us. We've got to trust him for that. That's what distinctly puts us apart from the world. That we understand that God loves us so much and he cares for us so much that he wants to take care of our every need if we would just let him. Go ahead and pray with me. Father God, this morning as we sit here and we look at your word and we begin to think through the things that just burden us with worry, I pray that you would take them away from us. We don't want to carry these things. We name them in our heads and we give them to you this morning. Father, I pray that you would take them from us and that we would see how that you are working in that way. We would see how you've taken this and lifted it up off us. We'd see how we stand much taller and are able to breathe much better. How we're able to enjoy the things of this world and this life that you've given us. Father, we trust you for these things. We trust you to take care of us. We trust you to provide for us. And this morning, I just pray that you help us with that. I pray that we would live for you, that we'd go out of these doors living like you are here and right near walking next to us, instead of forgetting, almost like amnesia, forgetting that you work amongst your people's lives. Father, this morning as we stop and we sit still in this moment, I pray that you just speak to us. I pray that you speak to us in such a way that there's a response that is prompted. That we know what it is that we have to give to you. That we know what it is that we have to stop worrying about. So Father, this morning I pray that in these quiet moments, that we would encounter you, we would encounter your presence in just a strong and mighty way. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen.